She is a superwoman and she joins us in studio. It is a Woman Crush Wednesday. We make sure we find women just trailblazing in different industries, different communities, just doing fantastic things. And we bring these ladies on to inspire us to keep working hard, to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and just to keep surging forward. And today I'm so excited. This lady is one powerhouse of note, okay? She's a pioneer entrepreneur, an award-winning businesswoman in the construction space, and just keeps growing and growing. In 2015, she was honored with the Best Women in Construction Award by the Master Builders Association. Her interior designing portfolio boasts a whole host of amazing offices, including the Speaker's Office in KZN Parliament. Now, this lady also serves as the executive board member of the KZN Master Builders Association, and she's right here with us. She's not only in construction, she's in security, she's in cleaning, she's in interior designing, and in so much more. Mom, wife, and so many labels and hats she wears, and she does it so flawlessly. I'm talking about the amazing Thobekile Ndlovu. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, sis. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good and so excited to have you, you know, in the building.
It's good to be here.
We have to start at the beginning. Like, construction is one space that you don't find many ladies in. Yes. It's really so male-dominated. I mean, you drive past a construction site, it's normally just guys. And if there's a lady with a hard hat, you kind of stare and wonder, what happened here? How did she land up here? Yeah. How did you choose this path?
Okay, thank you very much. Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
What
Happy
a great
New
way
Year
to start
you.
The year.
Right, right. Both of us were in Zimbabwe, by the way. She was in Zimbabwe slightly
yes,
earlier than I
because
went.
Yes, guys, we must travel Africa.
Yes, absolutely.
How I started construction, to be honest, I started as an interior designer. I'm a qualified interior designer. And then I realized that whenever I do designs, I need to outsource the implementers. Then I ended up starting my own team that implements my designs. Wow. So in such a way that when I submitted my portfolio of the work that I've already done under interior designing, it was easy for CIDP to welcome me and start me in grade four. So I think my passion for the love of structures, architecture, and interior design led me to construction.
Wow.
I started as a consultant and then I advanced to study project management, advanced project management. So I'm a qualified project manager. And with those skills, it's easy to implement projects because I can wear two hats. I can wear a contractor's hat. But when it gets boiling, I jump into a consulting office and I clean projects.
Wow.
So one thing I've observed with construction is that it's very important to be knowledgeable.
Right.
Yeah, and be informed.
Right. Now tell me about the importance of, like, first of all, discipline in getting through the processes, right?
Yes.
Firstly, you start interior designing and before you know it, you are like your portfolio grows and grows and grows.
Yeah.
That comes with discipline for you to say, okay, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm getting.
Yes.
How did you get yourself into a space of saying this is where I'm going?
I normally subscribe to a policy that says satisfaction is an enemy of growth.
Oh.
Sometimes in life you must avoid to be too content and to be arrogant, to be stagnant. Because once you limit your growth, you also challenge your maturity. It can be personal or in business. So I learned that in construction because I love to challenge myself.
Yeah.
And I also love to challenge the status quo. Somehow I just want to disrupt the status quo. For the fact that it was a male-dominated space, I asked myself that why not us women being in the belt space?
Yeah.
And then I entered into that space with that innovative mindset to come and learn. And more than anything, to make an impact.
Yeah.
So one advice I'd give is I'd say be passionate with what you're doing. Because, Mina, I wanted to grow in my building and construction and the building understanding kind of a field. I knew that I was not enough. It was not enough for me just to draw structures, just to draw interiors, just to draw plans and to draw all these things. But I had to take it to another level where I'm able to even implement that very same structure.
Right.
So push yourself because satisfaction is an enemy of growth.
Thobe Thulari Trading is how you trade under your different hats. It's the holding company for all the businesses that you run.
Yeah.
And one thing I always find so interesting is how every business person has challenges and how they've overcome them. What would you say has been your biggest challenge and how have you overcome that?
Incompetence. In most cases, people tend to think incompetence comes from contractors. Incompetence definitely does come from government officials.
Hmm.
Sometimes they can employ people based on their, I don't know what the criteria is used, but there are times where you feel that they also need empowerment. So sometimes many projects or many companies are down the drain today, not because builders or contractors didn't know what they're doing. Mm. But it's because they are subjected to submit to people that are so incompetent. Mm. And another problem that is also, I would advise now with my journey of 20 years in business, is to say you must understand your rights as a business person, and you must understand your rights as a contractor. Every contract that you sign, it's got both contractual obligations on the contractor's side as well as the client. Mm. It's not bullying one side. But if you don't know your contractual right, they can easily bully you. Mm-hmm. So be very knowledgeable, humble founder, or familiarize with yourself with JPCC, GCC. Those are common contracts that we sign as contractors.
Right.
If you don't know, visit Master Builders Association. They will empower you. Be a member of Master Builders. Definitely, I've been serving in that board. And I did. They are doing a wonderful work.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now I have to serve in other boards, which needs me as well.
Yes.
But they are doing an amazing work. So do visit them because they will empower you. They will train you on JPCC. They will train you on this. There's nothing so important like understanding your rights as a builder and your contractor, your obligations as well. Because there's so many projects which are not getting finished because contractors don't understand their role in the value chain. So do understand the obligations that you are definitely expected to bring service delivery to life. Our government has budgets, but you are the implementer. So if you don't understand that we work as a team, and it's very important all to understand and push towards the same direction of implementing those projects, not to frustrate one another.
Mm.
So because no matter how much you can wish to finish the project, if they don't want you in that project, definitely won't finish it. They will make sure that they kick you out. So those are the dynamics we face, which are beyond our control sometimes as builders. But do all in your power to fight for your community. When I surrender, it's because it's beyond my control. Because I do try to do all in my power to fight for service delivery. I have a deep understanding that it's not us who get affected, but it's this community we're trying to serve that they get affected if that school doesn't get handed over, that hospital doesn't get handed over, that dam doesn't get handed over, that road doesn't get handed over. It delays into talk.
Right.
So I think more than anything, I normally say money mustn't be your drive, but your passion and your impact in the society must be your drive.
Oof. Yeah. Beautifully said.
But money become guaranteed if you bring service delivery to life.
Right.
You must be paid for services.
Of course.
But don't be rude by money that when the project money comes, you eat it before you deliver the project. Finish the project first.
Yeah. And that's been a problem. Yeah. I mean, the big buzzword now is construction mafia.
Yeah.
Have you been affected by this construction mafia?
Yes, but not that harsh.
But it is a problem in the industry.
It is a problem in the industry. Just that I never had a big encounter with them.
Yeah.
But I do hear stories because, as I've said, I serve in very strategic structures of the construction industry. So we do deal with such things.
Yeah.
But one thing I've observed is that communication is important.
Right.
There are those who are thugs, vele, ababa sabayi kebeng. Go to legitimate forums, ngiyakhulumeka nawo. Like if you secure an appointment and talk and say, what is your problem? What is your want? Gogunye, they want things that are ridiculous. But try maybe secure an appointment with the boss of the mafias. Talk to him direct just to establish what is an issue here, bro.
Yeah.
How can we help you? How can we help your team?
Right.
Kodwa, I think it's something that our government needs to deal with because it's deeper than what we see in the naked eye. Because even the people behind it, sometimes I'm told some of them will shock you. To be honest, you're fighting an invisible enemy here. But it is definitely a problem that is hindering the service delivery.
And it sounds very complex, right?
But it needs our SEPs to be on board, our law enforcement to enforce it. It also needs our leadership to be decisive to deal with it once and for all.
Once and for all.
Yeah.
We are hanging out with Thobekile Ndlovu. She is a pioneer in many ways and has done amazing things under her business portfolio, Thobe Thulani Trading, which also deals with construction, interior design, cleaning, and so many more services. We'll find out from her what her advice is for all of us who also want to have our own umbrella company that looks after other companies, and also how does she do it every day, get up every day and know that, you know, her business is feeding people. It leads me to my next question. You know, you do a lot of things.
Yes.
And I know that you're busy with something special right now. Are you able to share with us what you are busy with?
Okay. Yes. Okay. As a developer and a contractor, it is very important to remain relevant and innovative, meaning As much as I'm a service provider for our government, but I also do private development as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm involved in another very interesting project called Ape Zulu Development.
Okay.
It's in on the north side of Durban. I'm one of the people that are very innovative who are passionate with the rural development and township economy.
Yeah.
I do feel they are very rich, beautiful valleys and rivers and amazing views, but they are not properly developed. Why? Because people of our caliber, they shy away from rural places. They want to stay home, Hlanga, no Palito, places that are already done.
Mm.
However, those places will never change as well. It's enough if we don't go back and clean our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that is where I'm heading to currently.
Yeah.
That I'm busy adding value in those places where we're putting up innovative developments like estates in the tribal land.
Lovely.
In the rural land. Because the cost of living is not doing justice currently.
Mm.
Kodwa umhlaba wabamkhulu muhle. Ukuthi awunawo itha. Awunayo i-bulk infrastructure that is planned properly. Awunayo estates and a clubhouse. But there's nothing special if you're a developer enziwe ebhalithi ongekuyenze in the land of our forefathers. It's mm-hmm. all about proper planning.
Right.
So we put together such an interesting model and we're going to implement it.
I love that.
To prove a point.
Right.
We would see all that we need is just a strategic land. The rest is doable.
It's doable. So make these beautiful estates in our rural lands.
Not?
Yes,
Because vele, let's be honest, there's a shift in KZN. Abantu bayakhe endaweni ze Cheki Adams uthinjani.
Mhm.
Cheka iLawn Park uthinjani.
Mhm.
Gogo endawo zethu bayavele bayakha. Uthi mawusondela ubone ukuthi yabo labantu if they brought in professionals azoba guide ukuthi umgaqa ube uvule khamba imoto embili nothe yodwa.
Mm-hmm.
Angabe sinomhlanga wethu singabantu.
Okay. For the sake of those who are not understanding, you're basically saying build in the rural areas to uplift those communities and give them the same things we see in suburbia, the estates, the beautiful lion parks, the beautiful this and that. You're saying that?
Yes, that's one. Two, also create a livable conditions for the successful society.
Mm.
Because the only reason why some people shy away from being in the rural areas, it's not livable.
It's not livable.
You don't know when you're flashing where your thing is going.
Right.
But when you come and plug in the basic services, like proper bulk infrastructure, sewer systems in that particular, like for example, there we identified a land, we demarcated a certain portion, fencing it with clear view, but inside we're going to demonstrate that a road is possible, sewer systems are possible, stormwater management systems are possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people are staying there, that model is appealing to any civilized community because currently that's a lifestyle that they're familiar with. Jobihlala la emafletini go mhlanga go Yellowwood Park go as well. But if they go home, there's something that is not done correctly. So us as developers, especially African developers, it's high time that we join hands and join forces and fix our own problems. Because we must have a house in Mhlanga, but must also have a house in Adams, or have a house in Stenga, or have that's a language, or that's a song we are preaching with Amandla Mnotho currently, led by Mr. Qaba, Gugulethu Qaba. Charity begins at home.
It sure does.
Yes.
It sure does. Speaking of charity beginning at home, what is your advice to ladies or anyone listening right now in chasing a dream? You chased a dream from an interior designer to an empire, and now you're building homes in rural communities. What is your advice to chase your dream?
First and foremost, I'll say true leaders are those that are able to develop leaders of their kind in their lifetime.
Mm.
So, ungafuni ukushayina wedwa. Zama ukuthi kube khona ophakama naye.
Right. Don't shine alone.
Don't shine alone. Try to empower other people, because how can you call yourself a leader if there's no one whom you're empowering? There's an interesting company that I decided to work with, Yangagatuguza. You see, Meme Civils. They are good with civil work, and they're going to be involved in the Epizol project. So we started doing access roads with them and the fencing and so on. Why I'm mentioning them is because it's a company that is owned by a young gentleman, and we're trying to support them, to groom them as well as we grow. I believe a lot in subcontracting. There are many businesses that we've supported. There are many businesses that we've empowered over the years. And I normally say to our clients, especially our government, if they don't pay us, you don't kill Tobey, you kill the nation.
Oh.
Because under me, there are many great tools, great flows that we are feeding as a company. So if we decide to hold the money, it's not about me that we're destroying, but we're destroying the entire value chain under me. So where I'm going with this, as young people, the young upcoming entrepreneurs, dare yourself to have a dream, dare yourself to to push yourself beyond the limits, because I wouldn't even say the sky is the limit. I say there are many endless opportunities. Pray to God. There's one thing that Solomon prayed to God for. He prayed for wisdom. There's one thing I pray on a daily basis with God. The wisdom.
The wisdom.
The wisdom to always be relevant and always be innovative. When my ideas are fresh, if it's going to bring a solution, present it and see if the government don't listen. They will definitely listen and they will partner with you, because we're bringing what the solution to the society.